God asks us to forgive one another. That's kind of like that's sort of like not giving people what they deserve, right? It's sort of like the negative. This morning's command is going to be the proactive side of that, I believe. This morning's command that we're going to look at is to build up one another. If you happen to be our guest, now all the way through the end of November, we're going to be looking at the one another commands of the Lord Jesus. In fact, I think there's like 30 plus commands by our Savior who told us to do this for one another, do that for one another. We began with love one another, then we looked at forgive one another. Today we're going to look at build up one another, but there's others as well. There's serve one another. There is don't judge one another. There's a lot of them. We're going to be looking at them through now through November. The command in the Bible to build up one another is found in several places, but we're just going to look at one as we begin. But before we actually do that, let me lead us in prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, would you take this time and build us up through it? God, would you use the Word of God now to encourage us and to strengthen us, to build us up? Father, we ask for that. I ask for help even as I speak, that I might speak with clarity, that I might get my thoughts together to come in such a way that there's a point to the Spear. And I ask that, God, you would use this talk this morning to change us. Lord, we know that you want to transform us. And so transform us today using this talk, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The verse is actually going to be verse 11, but to read the context, we're going to start at verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, I'm going to read. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come, just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains among a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us to wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Now the verse, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Now in this text, from this letter to the Thessalonican church, Paul's been talking about the second coming of Christ. And in chapter 5, he starts talking about the day of the Lord. Now, for most of us as followers of Jesus, we associate the day of the Lord with the return of Jesus, and because they are tied together in the Scriptures. But the day of the Lord in the Scripture is really the day of God's judgment, the day when God will come and bring about justice on the earth. And so Paul begins and he says, we don't need to tell you about the day of the Lord because as God's people, we're expecting it. We're looking for it. We know it's real. We know it's coming. But here's what I want you to remember and to note, and that is this, that it's coming when other people are saying peace and safety and all is well and all is great. That's when the day of the Lord is going to come. And then he says, when it comes, it's going to happen like labor pains on a woman. And it's not that she doesn't know labor pains are coming. She surely knows by that time that they're soon to come. But when they come swiftly. They come maybe unexpectedly. And so he's saying that the day of the Lord is going to come swiftly when it comes. And then he makes the statement that because it's coming, because we know it's coming, because other people are going to be saying, hey, it's not coming. Everything's wonderful. He says, we should be ready. We should not be sleeping. We should not be like in a drug-induced state, but rather we should be suited up and prepared for that day of the Lord. And then Paul makes this really, it's an awesome statement. If you're looking for a verse, for a life verse, this would probably be a good one. What he says in verse 9, for God, talking to us that follow Jesus, he says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we're living when the day of the Lord comes, or whether we've already died in the day of the Lord, we will live together with him. So Paul says in verse 9, he says, God has not destined us for this day of the Lord. for this wrath of God that's going to be poured out in judgment upon the world. Because in Christ, Christ took our wrath, the wrath of God against all of our sin, Christ took it. And so, we're not expecting it. We're not looking for it. It's not for us. We have escaped it, having obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Great verse. And then verse 11, and this is the key verse for those of us that are Christians. It says, therefore, in light of that, in light of the day of the Lord coming, in light of the fact that some people are going to be denying it when it comes, in light of the fact that it's serious, we need to be ready. In light of that, he says, encourage one another and build up one another just as you're doing. Now, let me say here that Paul equates building up one another with encouraging one another. Do you see that? Encourage one another, build up one another. So the truth is, when we talk about building up one another, I could have called this command the encourage one another command, because it's one and the same. They're synonyms there. So when we're encouraging folks, we're building them up. When we're building them up, we're encouraging them. That's what we're supposed to do. And in the context for this command, the context in which we find verse 11 basically is this. In light of the fact that God is coming in judgment, in light of the fact that the day of the Lord is coming at the return of Christ, and we're to be ready for it, therefore we need to be encouraging, strengthening everyone for that day. Strengthening them for what? Strengthening them, it says, to walk in the light. We are of the day, not of the night. What does that mean, walking in the light? We're to strengthen one another to walk in God's commands, to obey our Father, to obey our Lord Jesus. We are to strengthen one another, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to continue to walk in faith and continue to walk in obedience to God. Amber and I were talking a few minutes this morning before the service was before we started, and we were talking about, being a part of the Bacon's Castle family and what that means. And I said, Amber, do you recognize that being a part of us means this, that you are saying, Jimmy, I'm going to walk in holiness. I'm going to walk in obedience to God. And I want Bacon's Castle as a family to keep me accountable to that. That's what it means to be a part of us here, everybody, that you're saying, I want all the rest of you to keep me accountable as I walk in the light, as I walk in holiness. And just to be fair, and Amber can attest to this, I said, and Amber, that means when I'm not walking in the light, I need you to pull me aside and say, Pastor Jimmy, what you did or what you said was not right. And I said, I know that'll be hard. And Amber said, no, it won't. So I appreciate Amber. I'm looking forward to her holding me accountable. But this is basically what the scripture is telling us. It's saying, in light of the fact that Jesus is returning, that the judgment of God is coming against the world, and we know that, we're to walk in the light. And so part of our responsibility to one another is to encourage one another to walk in that light, to build up one another to walk in that light, so that we can be ready for the Lord's return, so that we can be found walking in the light when Jesus comes. Now, in Ephesians 4, this is not a place where we find the command that says build up one another, but it does relate to it. So let's leave Thessalonians and go to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read one more text as it relates to this whole command of building up one another. This is a very famous, very familiar passage to most of us, or to many of us, I should say. But in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11, Paul writes to this church that he loved and served as their lead pastor probably for 2 years at least. It says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Now here's the word, to the building up, there's the command, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain, to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Let me see if I can walk back through that and kind of break it down for us to understand it maybe a little better. God has given to us leaders in the church. He's given us pastors and teachers. He's given us elders, although that would be with a pastor. He's given us elders. He's given us apostles and evangelists. He's given the church, the greater body of Christ, these leaders. And I believe to the smaller microcosm of the bigger universal church, the local church, he has given us leaders as well. And their job is to equip all of us to serve so that the body of Christ will be built up. Do you see that? That's the purpose. That's why the church family has elders or pastors and teachers. It's for the building up, to help all of us, to equip all of us, so that we can in turn build up the body of Christ. But here's why I've gone to this passage, because I want you to see what the end goal is. I want you to see what we're striving for when I'm building you up and you're building me up and you're encouraging one another. Here's the end goal. This is what you're striving for as we build up one another. He says, first of all, he says, I want you all to obtain to the unity of the faith. So what we're striving for in building up one another is unity. We want heart unity as a church family. And so we should be encouraging one another, and we should be building each other up into that most holy unity that God has given us. Now let's face it, folks, we don't always have unity, do we? And why don't we have unity? People. I love it. You know, it's people, it's right. And it's the selfishness that's in us as people, right? That's why we don't have unity. So what we're trying to do as the body in this one another command to build up one another and encourage one another is we are seeking to help all of us obtain to a unity as the body of Christ. So unity. And then it says, obtain to the full, to the knowledge of the Son of God. So I would say that part of the building up is we want to have full knowledge of Christ. We want to know everything we can know about Christ. Now, guys, listen, finite man can never know infinite God, you know, in much of any sort of way, really, only what he chooses to reveal to us. But what God has chosen to reveal to us, God wants us to be building that up into one another. He wants us to be teaching each other what God has revealed about himself. And so God's given us leaders to equip all of us so that we build up the body of Christ to unity, to knowledge of him, full knowledge, and knowledge of the Son of God. And then he says, to complete maturity, to a mature man. That's what God desires in our building each other up, that we might be mature. Now, that's pretty easy to understand, maturity. We've got a picture of that. We know what Bennett's over here for the second time with us on Sunday. He was here last week, and I forgot to acknowledge his presence. But Bennett is here with us. And he's just a newborn, right? He's not mature. He's got a long way to go. But one day we'll be able to look at Bennett and say, he's a mature man. We'll see that physical growth, and we'll know what maturity looks like. I think we have an idea of what spiritual maturity looks like in a lot of ways, but it's even defined for us more specifically, to a mature man, and then it says, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So you want to know what maturity is, everyone? It's being like Jesus. It's being like Jesus in our attitudes, in the way we behave with one another, in the way we talk, in the way we relate to each other, the way we act. That's what we're trying to do is in this command to build one another up, to encourage one another. We want to help everyone obtain to these three things, really: unity in the body of Christ, unity in the body of Christ, knowledge of the Lord Jesus in its fullness as best we can, teaching one another the things of God, and then maturity, being like Jesus. In Romans 8, it says that God has predestined us to that end, that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, I've got a long way to go, but I'm absolutely confident of this, that God has predestined that one day I will be like his Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's true for all of you that follow Christ. We will be like the Lord Jesus. So, in this command, that's what we're striving for. Now, let me talk for a few moments about the ramifications of this command. What are some of the things that kind of stream from this command to build up each other? Well, number one would be this, that all of us, none of us, let me rephrase it, none of us can obtain full maturity in Christ without the influence and without the help of other believers. In other words, it takes other men and women in my life to help me obtain to that maturity in Christ. I need you, you need me, we need each other, that we might become the mature people that God, the mature Christ-like people that God desires in us. And I have a great illustration to make this point to you, and I've used it many times, so forgive me, and forgive me, Ann. It comes from our marriage, and that's what you get for being here. I don't have any other illustrations other than the ones I've always had. Although this one impacted me so greatly, I have never forgotten it. And it was when Ann and I have been married 3 or 4 years, we were fighting. I was going to the Southern Baptist Convention, and Ann is saying to me as we're leaving, you don't love me, you don't love me, you love the church. Well, that was kind of hard, right? But you love Bacon's Castle, you don't love me. And in my heart, man, I love her, and I'm just so upset, you know. And so I get in the car with my brother to go to the Southern Baptist Convention. And as we're driving down the road, we're probably not very many miles down the road, I just leave her. She's crying, I've been crying, it's just that bad. And I say to my brother, and I'm not crying now, I'm mad now, and I'm saying, "She says I don't love her." And I remember, and I'll never, ever, ever forget how it made me feel or anything. My brother got quiet and said, "Jimmy, Evie and I have always felt like you never loved Ann." I'm going to tell you, you talk about a sucker punch to that place where it takes your breath away. That's what that was for me. It was because it was all, the problem was her, not me, right? That was the problem. And in that day, you know, God said to me through my brother, in an absolutely blind spot for me, "You're the problem, not her." And so why would I say that you will not obtain the maturity of Christ without the help of one another? It's because you won't be able to see your own blind spots. That's why God gave us each other, so that you could point them out. I was serious when I was talking to Amber. I really was. I was serious. "Amber, if you see me messing up, I need you to call me out on it. If you say I speak to someone harshly or whatever, call me out on it." Because that's what we need with one another. Then, you know, for that to happen, and I'm chasing this just a little bit too far. I could talk about how we need to be willing to receive such correction from one another, right? You're never going to be mature if you're unwilling to receive correction. If you're unwilling to listen without feeling like people are angry with you or mad at you or picking on you or trying to hurt you, you're never going to become mature. Because you'll always hide, you'll always run, you'll never listen. You'll never listen. So anyway, let me move on. Now, here's another ramification of this. I'm sorry, Amber, I keep using you. I don't know where you went. I hope you didn't leave the room. But I keep using you as an illustration. Every Christian, young and old, has something to contribute in helping others grow in Christ. All of us, no matter what your age, no matter how long you've been following Jesus, you can impact other believers. You have something to offer. God, the Spirit of God is in you, and He can use you to confront others. So I'm going to go back to Amber again. I'm so much older than her, and she's so much younger. But you know what? She can confront me with my sin just like I could confront her. It's not an age-related thing. It's a spirit thing in us, right? The Holy Spirit can speak to us when we need to speak to someone else. Every Christian, young and old, can contribute to this building one another up. Here's a third thing. Growth among God's people, this building up process, varies from individual to individual. In other words, we're not all growing at the same speed. Sometimes, you know, there's like a growth spurt in our life spiritually. I mean, I've watched it, I won't name you, but I've watched it among you. You know, for the longest time, I felt like you were never going to grow. And you always seem to be at the same infantile spot spiritually. And then all of a sudden, God does something and you just begin to blossom and grow spiritually. And then we all are like this. We're all growing at different spots and different times. We all come to the Lord at different times in our lives as well, right? I mean, I've been walking with Jesus for 30-some years. So hopefully I would be more mature than someone who's just beginning their walk with Christ. Wouldn't you agree? So we're all at different spots in this thing. And so what that means is that we need to have, you know, patience with one another. I'll come back to that in a few moments. Here's the next one. Even as we can help people grow, the implication of this command is that I can have the opposite effect as well, and that is I can hinder growth in other people. I can not just help you grow, build you up. I can also tear you down. I can also destroy you. And if you don't believe that's true, 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, "Everything is lawful, but not everything builds people up." Now there it is, black and white, the Word of God. Paul speaking, not everything builds up. Not everything you say builds up. That's why the Bible tells us, build up. Make sure you're using your words to build up, because you can tear down with your words, so don't do it. Romans 14:20 says, "Do not tear down the work of God." You can tear it down. I can tear it down. We need to be careful not to do that. And here's the last thing I wrote down as far as ramifications from this command. Helping someone will grow will require time and patience and sacrifice. You know, you build this command to help one another grow, this command to build one another up, to encourage one another. This command is going to require of you patience, because you're going to think people should grow faster than they are. It's going to require sacrifice, because for you to help people grow, you're going to have to give of yourself, give of your time, give of your resources. It costs you to be faithful to this command. Listen to what Paul told the church at Corinth when it came to their building up. He said, I will most gladly spend, and listen, and be expended for your souls. Let me ask you, are you willing to be expended for the person sitting next to you? Or how about this? Are you willing to be expended for the person sitting in front of you or the person behind you? That's not your blood. It's not your family. It's not your children. It's not your parents. Are you willing to be expended for the body of Christ? You know, the biggest problem with us as believers is that we're still so filled with selfishness and we've lost sight of what really matters. What really matters is the kingdom of God. What really matters is the church of the Lord Jesus. And we should be willing to pour ourselves out for one another. And the ramifications of this command is that I am willing to give of myself and my time, my patience, my sacrifice, my resources in order to help build you up. And you to build me up, and you to build one another up. All right, last question. This is the big question. How do we do this? How do I build one another up? How do we build each other up, I should say? How do we build each other up? Well, I'm going to give you three means to build people up. All right? Three means that come from the Scriptures. And if we'll do these three things, if we'll do these three things, then we will be faithful, I believe, to be building people up. Here's the first, and it's the foremost. It's the most important. We build people up and we encourage one another with God's word and God's truth. And you say, oh, that was so melodramatic. I thought it was going to be something really big. It is big. It is big. We build each other up with the word of God. It's God's truth that builds. Remember, what is the goal of our building up? It's that we might walk in the light. It's that we might be like Jesus. We might be conformed to his image, right? How do we get there? We get there by using the word of God to help people grow, to help people be built up and mature. Paul meets with the Ephesian elders back in Acts 20. Remember this? He's getting ready to leave them, and he says, I now commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He says, I commend you the word of God, which is able to build you up. It is the word of God that builds us up, everybody. It is God's truth that strengthens us. It is God's truth that encourages us. And so what we need to do is we need to speak the truth of God's word into each other's lives, especially when we're not growing, and especially when we're actually being people are seeking to knock us down, or circumstances are seeking to knock us down. That's when we need to speak the word of God into people's lives. Now, we definitely do this when we gather for a meeting, home group, Sunday school class, this big group meeting right now. We definitely do it in this context. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says he's comparing people speaking in a language that nobody else would understand. Like if I were to start speaking to you in Spanish this morning, only a couple of you may understand what I'm saying. That would be very little, that would not be profitable. But 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies, by implication in the language that everybody can understand, speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So here, the purpose of this meeting, in part, is to build each other up. And so we come here, and from this most important desk, we speak the word of God into our hearts, because that's what builds us up. That's part of the purpose of this time right now, is to build us up. When you get together in a home group, you know, part of the opening the Bible that you do at home group is to build one another up. Sunday school is to build one another up. And I know you're probably saying to yourself, well, hey, well, that excludes me, right? Because I'm not getting up there and doing that. That's only for a few people who really want to do it. And yes, there is something to this position that I'm occupying here, but you're not off the hook. Listen to what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14:26. Same context. When you assemble, each one has a psalm. Each one has a teaching. Each one has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up, for edification. And the point I simply want to make, I've tried to find ways that you can come and join me behind this desk and encourage people with your words from God's word, right? I want that to be the case. But in our small groups, especially in home groups, that's part of the goal, is that all of us come together and all of us have things that would build up and encourage. So we're all in that setting, I think, even responsible in that setting, okay? But let me move it out of a meeting so that you don't absolutely just tune me out. You know, it doesn't have to be in the context of a meeting. We need to be using the Word of God in the lives of others at every opportunity we have. So in Romans 15, 14, Paul says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. Paul says, I want to come and I want to build you up. I have such a desire to build you up, Roman Christians. I have such a desire to do that. But you know, when I come, I'm expecting you to build me up too, he says. And in this context, he says, and I'm also convinced of this, that you can build one another up. That we can all do this, that we can all just share God's word so as to build up. Over the years, many of you have come to me personally. You've come to me personally, and you seek to encourage me with the word of God. There is rarely a week that goes by that either Mike Abici or Billy Rickman doesn't call me on the phone and just exhort me with the Word of God. And I'm telling you what, I love it. I love it. They're not just asking questions. They're telling me things that they've been thinking about through the week about the Word of God and using it to try to build me up. That's what we all need to do with one another, okay? We need to do that with each other. We shy back from that, I think, because we're thinking, well, people don't want it, or I don't want to be pushy, or maybe I'll get it wrong. Listen, let's not let fear keep us from doing this most important thing in building one another up, and that is sharing the Word of God with one another. Here's a practical thing that we can do in this area. Send scriptures or portions of devotionals that pertain to maybe something somebody's going through or something that you've learned, and share it. Share it with a brother or sister in Christ, in the body of Christ. Build them up. You can do that through a text. You can do it through an email. You can do it through a card. You can do it through a phone call. You can do it face to face. But take the word of God. Take the truth. It doesn't have to be like a verse. It can be that, right? It's really neat when you guys, Mark Brennan, those of you on Mark Brennan's, you know, texting feed, right? I mean, he's always sending us verses to build us up, right? So you can do this. On Friday, Gene began on Thursday, and Gene and his sons, Dale and Casey and all the guys, they started Thursday. And Friday, you know, it was a beautiful day, wasn't it, that we got till about 4 o'clock, and then it's supposed to rain. And I'm telling you, I'm beginning to pray and beg God not for it to rain, because all I can think of was this huge storm filling that big old hole full of water, setting us back weeks and all. And I'm praying for it not to rain. Mark and Joyce were here. I'm walking outside. Hey, guys, y'all need to stop what you're doing, and you need to pray. And we need to pray for it not to rain. I went back and told him, I said, guys, I'm praying that the rain will go around Bacon's Castle. I'm sorry, Dickie. I don't know if you needed rain or not. But I pray that it would go around Bacon's Castle and not rain on us. And so about that time, I sent out the church email that I sent on Friday, that reminder. And I got a reminder back from Ruthie Crockett. Many of y'all know Ruthie, and she said something. I don't remember what it was. And, you know, I mean, I've got rain on my mind. I sent her an email. I said, Ruthie, will you stop what you're doing right now? Will you pray that it will not rain here at Bacon's Castle? And I sent it. And about that time, I hear this. And I go over to the door, and it's raining. First of all, I'm feeling really defeated, just being honest with you. I'm feeling really defeated. But I walked back to my computer, pulled it back up again, and I said, never mind, it's raining already. A couple minutes later, I got this back from Ruthie. Just remember, Jimmy, God doesn't make mistakes. His timing is perfect. We do get excited, don't we? I learned a long time ago that no matter how dense the thicket, God has put Easter eggs for his kids to find. Always joy when we just relax and let him help us find them. God bless you, Jimmy. I'll be honest with you. You know, Ruthie, I don't get the Easter egg thing, but yeah, I sort of do get it, I guess. But my point was, isn't that encouraging? I mean, what is she trying to do? She's trying to build me up when I'm feeling defeated because God said no to my prayer about the rain, okay? She's seeking to build me up. This is what we're talking about. This is how we do it, with the truth of God's word, either specifically God's word or truth like this, okay? Here's the second thing we do. We build up one another, and this might be easier for you. We just build one another up, not necessarily with God's word specifically, but we build one another up with just everyday sort of words of encouragement and growing and growth. Just everyday kind of words of seeking to build up and encourage, and not necessarily just using the Word of God. Now, I think using the Word of God is it should be our first and foremost kind of end, but we can just use regular words. Building 429, that music group, that, you know, their name, Building 429, what a stupid name. But it comes from Ephesians 4:29. That's where the 4:29 comes from. But the verse says, let me read it to you. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Well, I used to think it was a stupid name until I realized why they did it, right? But they chose that name because they're saying, we want to be somebody who just builds up with our words. That's what God says to the Ephesian church. He says, guys, let everything that comes out of your mouth not be to tear down, but to build up. You know, last week we talked about forgiveness. Let me give you an example of this because I tried to do it. You know, and there's somebody that I know that's really gone through an awful lot of hurt lately. And it just seems like the hurt just keeps coming and keeps coming. But this person just keeps forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. And you know what? I went up to that person and I said, you know what? You model the forgiveness Jesus asked of us. And my entire goal was to pour courage into them. My goal that day in saying that was to build them up, that they would continue to be that kind of forgiving person. The world is filled with negative people, isn't it? The world's filled with naysayers and putter-downers. We don't need to be that kind of people. We follow Jesus. We need to be the kind of people that are filled with courage, filled with words that build up and not tear down. We should be trying to pour courage and grace into everybody's life all the time with just words of affirmation. Here's my specific. Start at home. Choose today to speak words of affirmation and encouragement to your spouse and to your kids. Some of you never do that, and you need to start. You need to start. When you observe someone in the church family, go above and beyond. Write them a note. A handwritten card means an awful lot. It's a lost art in this culture. But you know what? A handwritten note means an awful lot. Hey, I saw what you did. Nobody else may have seen it, but I've seen it, and I appreciate it. Thank you for doing that. It's a powerful way of showing you care to send an email or a note just saying, hey, I love you, I appreciate you. Give genuine compliments, not flattery. Everyone has unique qualities and abilities, and encourage people with them. When you see them using those things, speak them out to them. Send them that text or that call today that says, I'm thinking about you. Or here, better yet, if God brings them to mind, pray for them. Pray for them. And then you know what you do? You shoot off a text and you say, this morning I was thinking about you and I want you to know I prayed for you today. And tell them what you prayed for. Tell them what you prayed for. I have a keeper file in my filing cabinet. And when you write me things that mean a lot to me, I put them in my keeper file and I pull them out and read them. I have an email keeper file as well. When you send me like email notes that where you've expressed something that I appreciate and that means a lot to me, it touches my heart, I keep it. Years ago, I found this picture of someone being baptized, and I just found it in this group of pictures, so I sent it to them, and they wrote me this email back. Let me read it. It says, thank you so much for sharing that picture. I've never told you this, but that was the most meaningful day for me for all the usual reasons, but even more for something else. The way you looked at me when you called me your sister in Christ, the smile on your face, the light in your eyes, the warmth in your voice is something I'll never forget. I know it's a little gushy for us guys, okay? It is all in all seriousness that I declare that I saw Jesus in you in an extraordinary way that morning. Thank you for allowing him to use you for his service. Warmest regards. I got to tell you, that ranks among one of the most meaningful notes I ever got. Ranks amongst, and I've gotten a lot of them that mean stuff to me like that. Let's not just do that for the pastors. Let's do that for each other. When somebody does something to you and for you that builds you up, or maybe they're in a spot where they're hurting, you build them up by using just your everyday kind of encouraging words. And finally, we build each other up by being willing to give of ourselves, our desires, even our rights for the growth and encouragement of others. If the first two things that I've talked about have to do with words, this last one is going beyond words And I'm talking about us building and encouraging one another to walk in the light, to be ready for the return of Christ, to be obedient and faithful to God. You know, I'm talking about us using our very lives to that end, using our resources, our time, our abilities, using those things so as to encourage one another. Listen, Paul in Romans chapter 14 and 15, there's this really big controversy over food. We don't get it because we don't live in that. But imagine you're a Jew of Jesus' day, and your whole life you've been under the first covenant. And the first covenant's all about what you eat. It's all about food. It's not all about that, but it's an awful lot about that. And so at that point, Jesus comes along. He renders the first covenant obsolete. And he says, you know, well, you're not under that anymore. The Sinaitic covenant is gone. You're under the new covenant now. Food is not an issue anymore. It's going to be hard for you to step from that covenant that has now become obsolete, that your entire life has been under, and to step into this. And so people were having a hard time freeing themselves from the obligations of the first covenant that were fulfilled in Christ. Everybody with me? And so they're struggling with this. And so Paul writes to the Roman Christians, and he says to them, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength and not just please ourselves. Let each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification, to his building up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it's written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Jesus bore reproach. He took suffering for us. And in the same way, Jesus says here, listen, there's a time and a place for you, just with your very patience and your very life, to help people. Maybe people that aren't quite as far along as you or that are struggling with something. You know, our God may be calling us to give up preferences or pleasures in our life to help other people grow, okay? In the letter to the Philippians, Paul says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. You know, building up others means having a mindset of taking and putting them first and using my abilities, my resources, my skills, not just my words, my very life, in order to build them up. So what would that look like in the 21st century church? Here it is. Don't belittle people or reject people who have wrong theology. Be patient with folks. Help them change, right? Don't belittle them. That is not building up. That is tearing down. That doesn't mean we don't correct errant theology, but there's a difference between belittling and correcting, okay? Be a friend to someone who's hurting. Reach out and ask them to get a cup of coffee with you so that you can be an encouragement to them, just with your presence. Listen to others. Truly try to listen to people when they're hurting, because most of us don't need you to fix us, do we? I'm trying to learn this at home. Most of us don't need to be fixed. We just need to be validated and heard and understood. And we need that in the body of Christ. And so all of us, that's the kind of thing we do with our lives in order to build up. Listen to people. Offer to pray for them. Pray for them in that moment. Pray for them right then and there. Give to your brothers and sisters in need. When people have a big financial need, especially one in connection with following Jesus, you know, it's a huge faith builder. It's a huge building them up when God uses you and me to provide for people's needs. Give someone a gift just because. It's been attributed to John Maxwell, but as I read this week, I found out that it's been attributed to a lot of people, but John Maxwell, I guess, made it famous in our day. But it's a statement, it's a quote, it goes like this, encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. Encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. When people are building us up, it's like we can soar like eagles when people are building me up and encouraging me. And this is John, or whoever said that statement, is right. Encouragement is the oxygen that just lifts us up and fills our heart. I've been thinking about this an awful lot all week, and I'm done, so just listen a couple more minutes. I've been thinking about this all week because this is what I've been speaking on today. And so I've been thinking about it all week. And as I thought about it, here's what I've determined. That to build up one another and to encourage one another is nothing more than us discipling one another. In other words, if I were to try to define for you what is building up, it's the same as discipling each other. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. In other words, teaching them to walk in the light, to be ready for my return. You know what? Building up and encouraging is nothing more than us helping disciple one another, and that is the core of our mandate. That's what we're to be about as a church. That's what you're to be about personally, making disciples who in turn make disciples. This means that we are to build each other up into the most holy faith. So let's take this command seriously. I challenge every one of you who follow Jesus, man, make this your mission to be a builder-upper and not a tear-downer. Make this your mission to sow encouragement into one another. Can you imagine what kind of place and what kind of people we will be as the people of God if we will just do this with one another? Let's pray. God, thank you for this, you know, great word of encouragement for me anyway, Father, about how I need to be building up my brothers and sisters. And this is my heart. God, you know I desire to do this, and I know so many others do as well. Lord, would you take us to the next level? Father, wherever we are in this process of being someone who builds others up, would you take us to a deeper spot? Would you help us to be better at it? Would you teach us, Lord, how to be not to be someone who's tearing down others, but encouraging them and building them up? Father, I pray that you would use our church to be just a place. I don't want to say a place, Lord, because we're not a place for a people. May we be a people that is continually raising the spiritual depth and the maturity of every other believer around us. God, we ask this that Christ might be glorified in each and every one of us. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. It's being brought to you by Bacon's Castle Baptist Church. And if you'd like more information about our church, please visit us on the web at www.baconscastle.com.